6:21 now before the hour. Just pause a second. Take a look at the label on the sweater you're wearing, or if you don't have a sweater, maybe just the back of the shirt or the blouse. There's a really good chance that it says made in China. It is Asia's economic powerhouse. The Chinese export four times as much to Canada as we do to them. Prime Minister Jean Chrétien met with Chinese leaders in Beijing today to talk about redressing that balance. But with every other country looking for a piece of the action in the world's largest market, Canada faces some pretty stiff competition. Charles Burton is a professor specializing in China at Brock University. He's also a former economic and political advisor at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. Hello, Professor Burton.
Hi.
China already produces a lot of stuff, and I don't have to look around even this room to find half a dozen items that are marked made in China. What can we possibly offer them in terms of trade?
Well, we do have commodities that have an international comparative advantage. For example, Canadian banking and insurance services are very strong, and so the Prime Minister was in China today, and an agreement was signed to open up the Beijing market to Manulife and Sun Life, which is a significant amount of trade for Canada. And then there are other areas that we have certain amount of specialization, for example, mining equipment, transportation equipment, telecommunications, and of course we sell a lot of Canadian wheat and potash and lumber and other paper products out to China. So there are things that Canada can offer that the Chinese want.
You see, the things I understand, the services I'm a little at a loss at, does China not have its own life insurance industry?
Well, they do, but it's a relatively weak industry, and it hasn't had good market penetration. And our services are very competitive and very strong. And so the Chinese have been sheltering their service industries from foreign competition out of fear that they'll be swamped by strong foreign competitors, which is why we've had trouble getting into that market. We've been barred from it because the Chinese naturally want to maintain some domestic insurance and banking services.
But have they not reduced that possibility? I'm wondering if they're ever going. If we've got these two major Canadian life insurance players now in the Beijing market, will the people in Beijing ever develop their own life insurance industry?
Well, they do have life insurance industries going in Beijing and in Shanghai, and they haven't completely opened it up. It's only for the Beijing area, and then their other insurance companies are only allowed to operate in Shanghai. But then there are other Canadian companies, for example, London Life, that would very much like a piece of that market and have not been able to obtain a license. So it's a very gradual sort of process. But because China has entered the World Trade Organization, they have international obligations to open up their market to fair competition from foreign firms, and Canada wants China to fulfill its commitments to the WTO, and that's why we've been pressing them to give us access to their market. And of course, the other thing is that there's a big trade deficit with China. They sell about $16 billion worth of stuff into Canada, and we only sell $4 billion back to China. So we've told them that we find this situation unacceptable and really want Canadian firms to have more access to that large and booming market that they have.
It'll always remain a large market because of China's population, but will it continue to be a booming market? Is it worthwhile for Canadian firms to go to the effort to surmount the considerable language and cultural and business barriers and get involved in what is still a communist country?
Well, yes, what you say is very true. There is a middle class in China now, you know, people who own property that we estimate amounts to perhaps as many as 200 million people out of the 1.4 billion. And so for a certain type of commodity that Canada has, that's a very attractive market. You know, they buy telecommunication services, they need subway trains. And I think that in the city areas, in the urban areas, Canadian firms do have fairly strong legal protections, and the local authorities know how to function in a way that will encourage foreign development. In the interior, you still have problems of, you know, local interference, arbitrary interference in business contracts or corruption, these kinds of things that make it a less attractive place for us to go. But as I say, with the entry in the WTO, I think that things in China are on an upward trend. and a lot of Canadian firms who are in there are very happy that they went, because there is, of course, a lot of money to be made in the biggest market in the world.
Do we advance the cause of democracy by being there, or would we advance the cause of democracy by refusing to be there?
Well, I think I think that as their economy develops and as you get this rise of a middle class, these are people who own property and feel that they have entitlements to rights, and they're demanding more accountability and transparency from government, and this is a democratizing force. I think if we didn't go into China, that wouldn't help the political situation at all. I think the more we're there and engaging them, the better it is for the extension of the rule of law and keeping the government accountable and hopefully moving towards better compliance with universal norms of human rights and democracy. I think that, you know, it may well be that it won't be long before China does, in fact, start electing its officials as opposed to appointing them through the Communist Party. But still, you know, it's still a very difficult place to judge.
It was good to talk to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Bye now.
That's Charles Burton, a former advisor in economic and political affairs at the Canadian Embassy in Beijing. He also specializes in China at Brock University.